Hey, let's go ahead and pull out your message notes. They look like this. It says Beginnings, Why You Need a Church Family. We've been going through this series called Beginnings. It's the new year. We're in January. And we're asking the question, if we wanted to start 2009 outright, how should we go about it? And where in the Bible do we look for some hints? So what we've been doing is we're looking at the Bible at when the first church started. The first church ever is recorded in the Bible, in the book of Acts. And we asked, how did they start their new life as a church? And how can we take that into our church as well? 2 weeks ago, we talked about making God the center of everything. Last week, we talked about making the most of what God's given you. And this week, we're going to talk about why you need a church family. Now, we're about to start growth groups at Edgewater. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So it's a wonderful time to talk about why you need a church family. It's the strangest thing that the Bible calls us family. I remember, for those of you who have kids, you might have this experience, but we had our first son, Nathan, who you just saw. He's four now, but when he was two is when Becky gave birth to our second son, Eli. And I remember the moment well when Nathan first met Eli. It was in the hospital room. My parents were with Nathan, and it was the day after Eli was born, and we didn't know how Nathan would respond to a new baby. So Nathan came into the hospital room. Becky and I were sitting on the bed looking at him. We weren't holding Eli. Eli was off to the side in a little crib. And we said hi to Nathan. And as we were talking to Nathan, his eyes turned. And he saw Eli in the crib. And Nathan's first words were, "Oh." And he was just mesmerized. And I remember just giving Eli to Nathan. And he just started kissing his forehead. And it's like family. This is family. The strange thing is that the Bible calls the church a family. Look around for a second. You're supposed to look around. Yeah, look around. Look around. Not me. The people you're looking at, according to God, are your brothers and sisters. Now, for some of you, that's scary news because you're looking at the person next to you and you're thinking, "Oh, Lord, please no." But some of you, that's really good news. Like, thank you, God, that you've given me this family. Thank you so much. We have this impression in our society that the hero is the Lone Ranger, the person who does it all by himself or herself. When I was growing up, all the superheroes were independent. They did things on their own. The heroes of the 1950s was called the Lone Ranger, not the ranger who was part of a family. No, the Lone Ranger, that's the hero. We have this thing in our society that to be really human means to be independent and strong. But that's not how the Bible presents it. To be really human means to be well-connected, to have relationship, to have healthy relationship. And God provides the church as a family to help in that. Look at 1 Timothy 3:15 in your outline. It says this. This is Paul writing to his friend Timothy. He says, "Then, even if I am delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God." The family of God. What's the family of God? That family is the what? Say it out loud. The church of the living God. It's a strange thing to comprehend, but God sees you as a brother and sister to those around you in this room right now. He sees you as family. Now, we don't always feel that right away, and the Bible gives a lot of hints on how to do that. But it's a good reminder that the church is not a building. Sometimes, you know, people ask, "Where's your church? Where's the building?" And we often think the church is a building. It's not an institution or an organization. Ultimately, the church is a family of people who love God. So we can meet in a cafeteria and still call ourselves a church. Isn't that crazy? If this cafeteria were destroyed next week, we could still meet together and be a church because it doesn't depend on a building. It's about family. It's about relationships. And the strange thing is that you and I, though we may have no blood relationship, are called family if we follow God together. And what did the first church do? How did they start off being a church? They just hung out together and had fun. Take a look at Acts 2:46. It says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." They just hung out together every day. They broke bread in their homes. They ate a lot together. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So, you know, you'd think the first church would do all these amazing things, but all they did was just chill together. They went over to each other's homes and ate because that was family. That's what you do as family. You just hang and have fun. And so what I want to talk about is why you and I need a church family. Why is that important? If I'm successful by the end of the time, you'll go, "This is why we need a church family." So I want to list four reasons why you and I need a church family. You guys ready for this? Oh, that didn't work. Are you guys ready for this? All right, okay. Number one, you need healthy relationships. Emphasis on healthy. You need healthy relationships. Right at the beginning, in Genesis 2:18, God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. In other words, we were not made to be independent. No matter what society says, we are not made to be alone. We are not made to be isolated. Yet, this is exactly what's happening more and more and more in our society. I read a study that says American adults have fewer friends today than they did 20 years ago. About 20 years ago, an average American adult had 3 close friends that they could totally be vulnerable with, totally confide in, totally tell everything to. 3 close friends. Today, that number is down to 2 close friends, and 25% of those surveyed said they had not one close friend that they can confide in. It's weird that the more populous we become as a nation, the more isolated we become from one another. People don't have that many close friends anymore. And yet God wants us to have that, and he's created the church to have healthy relationships. Even Jesus needed people. Take a look at Mark 3:14. I left this blank at the end. I want you guys to guess what the blank is, okay? So I'm going to read out loud, and I want to hear some opinions on what it says. It says, then Jesus, the Son of God, chose 12 of them to be his apostles. So he chose 12 people to follow him so that they could be, so they could what? What do you think it says? What does the Bible say right there? So they could what? Oh, you know it. That's right. So they could be with him. Not so they could do work, so they can get busy, but Jesus wanted 12 people initially just to be with him. Even Jesus had friends and needed friends. And as you read further in the Bible, you find out that he had 3 close friends out of those 12. We all long for buddies. We all long for companions. We all long for friends. And God has given us that through the church. You need healthy relationships because the lack of friendships in our society, people are lonely and they're isolated. And that is one reason God created the church. Now, one of the big benefits I have of being pastors, I know most of you by name. And I love that. You have to realize, when we got here 2 years ago, we had no friends. So now I have a whole church of friends. You know, I love it. You may not think you're my friend, but I think you're my friend, all right? So, and I just love that. But I realize that a lot of you guys don't know each other. I had 2 situations this past week and a half that were funny. We were talking about someone in the church, and they're like, who is that? I'm like, well, it's so-and-so. I mentioned the person's name. And they said, well, where does that person sit? I'm like, well, in the 3rd row, too. Oh, yeah, I know that person. Twice, people didn't know people's names, but they knew them by where they sat. So that's just 2 things. One is, you guys all sit in the same place. 2 is that we don't know each other, even here, that there's so much more for us to grow as family. And God has given that. So one of the goals here is that someone will change from row 3, seat 2, to Laura, you know, to Charisse. To Lala, but we'll begin to get names, you know what I mean? So we don't know each other by location. That's one of our goals. And that's part of why we do growth groups, so we know each other, so we become friends. Now, even those of us who do have friends, we need healthy relationships because some of us have some pretty dysfunctional families, wouldn't you say? Some of us have families that are a little whacked. Now, some of us have families here, so I'm not talking about your family, okay? I'm talking about families out there, who don't go to this church. But we all have families, and some of them just have real problems. And did you know that the family you grew up in really shapes how you relate to other people? The family you grew up in really shapes how you relate to people. For example, if you grew up in a really critical family, a family that was always telling you what you weren't doing right, what you could improve, my guess is that you are pretty hard on yourself, and that when someone disappoints you, you tend to be really critical with them. My guess is, and this is true for me, that whatever family we grew up in really affects how we relate to people. And God wants to give us a new healthy family so we can relate better. Now, my question is, how did your family handle conflict? Some families just have it all out. Like, you know, something happens and boom, you just yell. Other families don't say a word. It's really quiet and polite. My guess is the family you grew up in affects how you handle conflict in your own relationships. So the question is, if we grew up in families that had some good but also had some dysfunctional parts of it, how do we get healing? How do we grow healthy? And the answer is this: by forming healthy relationships within the church. God has given you a new family to learn how to live healthily. And who's your new family? Look around. One more time, look around. Go back and forth. Yeah, this is your new family. This is your new family. Even Jesus said this. Look in your outline in Mark 3:33. Jesus says, who are my mothers and my brothers? Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Radical, extremely radical. He redefined family by those who do God's will. So we are God's family, and we need each other. How do I experience healing in the church family? I have a story to share. When I was single, I lived with this married couple. They didn't have any kids, but this married couple had a house they rented. They invited several of us to live with them. And one night we were all hanging out and we were talking about what to do the next morning. And I love to cook breakfast. And I said, you know what? I would love to cook breakfast for you guys. And I started describing all the things I wanted to do. And they got really excited. And so we all went to sleep. I got up the next morning all ready to go. And the lady at the house, I'll call her Sally, she was already up in the kitchen cooking breakfast. And I looked at her in disbelief. And how did I handle it? Stuffed it all in, just kept it in and went back to bed. Didn't say a word. But inside, oh boy. I was raging. I was angry. Wouldn't talk to Sally. Wouldn't say a thing. Well, I'm part of a new Christian family now. I'm part of the church. And so I was talking to someone else in my church, and she said, you know, John, in the Christian family, the church, you try to work it out when you hold resentment. You try to talk to them. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? That's not my family. That's not how you do it. No, this is how you do it. This is a new thing. I'm like, you want me to talk to her about this? She said, yeah, but you have to be nice. You know, talk to her how you feel. I'm like, okay. So I talked. I said, Sally, can we talk later on? She said, sure. So we sat down, and I'm nervous. This is totally foreign to me. I never do this. I said, Sally, I thought I was cooking breakfast, and I was really disappointed when I woke up and you were there. And she looked horrified. She's like, oh, I thought you were going to do it another week, and I liked your idea, so I decided to do it tomorrow. I totally misunderstood what you were saying. And then she said this, I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And I thought, who are you? What is this type of communication? This is odd. I'm part of a new family, a new church family, where I learn how to relate in a healthy way. You are part of a new family. If you want to grow healthily, you need to be part of healthy relationships where your church family teaches you to relate healthily, to love each other, to forgive each other, and know how to do that. That comes over time. It's not like after that instance, I was all great at working out resentment. It took me years, but that was one of the first steps of just growing and learning how to work out relationships as God would do that. She was introducing me to the family of God. Now, here's the thing. Though you may not have an ideal family, God is giving you a second chance with a new church family. There's hope for all of us. Amen? Amen. Amen. You need healthy relationships. Another reason you need healthy relationships underneath this point is that life gets really tough. Wouldn't you say that? Life gets really tough. And when there's a crisis, you need the resources that come from a church family to help you through. There's going to be ups and downs this year and next year and the rest of your life, and we need people, healthy relationships, to help us during those tough times. I was part of a growth group several years ago with my wife and another couple, and we started this Bible study, and early on in this growth group, Becky had a stillbirth. This was before we had our two kids, and it was a devastating time for us, totally awful. We were down, depressed, didn't know how to process it, and we went to growth group. We told our growth group leaders what had happened, and they said, you know what we could do? Let's just change what we're studying in the Bible and just talk about grief in the Bible. And they spent a whole season in the growth group centered around how we were doing, helping us with our grief and looking at how God dealt with that. We experienced real love. In crisis, we need those kinds of friendships, those kinds of people who are going to come around us and help us out. And I'm grateful for those people. Currently, as you guys saw my wife, she's in an arm sling because she has a pinched nerve, and she might be in that for another 4 to 6 months. It's really hard to be a mom of two little boys with an arm sling. But we've had several of you come over and help out with food, with cleaning, and I think that's the church family. That's what we do for each other because we're going to have crisis, and we need each other's help. The Bible says it this way in Ecclesiastes 4. It says it this way. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We need each other to survive the crises of life. Make sense? And that's why you need healthy relationships. Number two is this. You need a place where you can use your gifts. You need a place where you can use your gifts. Last week, we talked a lot about spiritual gifts and what they are. If you missed last week, you can hear the message online. But we all have gifts from God that he gave us so we can help other people. But the big question is, well, where do we use those gifts? What context do we use what God has given us? And I want to say that often happens in smaller groups like growth groups. God gives us family so we can help other people. I'm noticing that people are looking at slides a lot more because we have pictures of our church. Is that why? That was Deborah's doing. Thank you, Deborah, for coming up. I don't care if you don't pay attention to me. Just look at the slides. It's great. Another growth group we were part of, my wife and I, we were part of a larger growth group of 10 people, and it was just amazing to watch as we were in growth groups together to see Sarah, who was in our group, using her worship gifts. She would lead us in worship every week during our growth group. Abby was another person in our growth group. This woman had administrative skills you wouldn't believe. She would like email out what's going on this week, send out prayer requests, get everything organized, and she just was loving it because she organized our group and did so well. Matt, another guy in our growth group, was this technical computer guy, and there was this one Bible study where we were talking about the tabernacle of God and what it looked like in the olden days. And Matt figured out this thing online where you can actually walk through the tabernacle online and look at all the different things. I mean, he's just techie, and that's what he did for us. Megan had this gift of hospitality. She would organize food for us. We had snacks all the time. But the point is that people were using the gifts that God gave them to serve other people. And small groups is often the area where we get to do that, where we serve people with what God has given us. The worst is that you have this gift and you don't know where to use it and you end up not using it. And this is what the Bible says about that in 1 Timothy 4. It says, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received to the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Do not neglect what God has given you. You are a steward of it. You are responsible of it for it, and you need to use it to serve other people." I want you to know that there are some of you have gifts that need to be used in this body, because there are some people who are hurting right now. There are some of you that are hurting that need the help of someone else in this church. They have a resource or a spiritual gift that you really need from them. We need each other. We need each other. God has given you gifts. He has given you people. And he wants those to intermix. Make sense? Great. Number three. Let's go to number three. You need a place where you can grow. You need a place where you can grow. Many of you are here because you're taking steps in your own walk with God. If you want to imagine that you're on a spiritual journey, right now you're at point A, but you want to be at point B, that's a wonderful thing. That's why we're here as a church, is to be a family and help you from point A to point B. But the question is, how do you get there? How do you get from point A to point B in your walk with God? Well, part of it is through other people. You need people to help you grow. Let's read Acts 2, 41 through 42. It goes like this. "Those who accepted his message," this is the first church, "were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They hung out and they learned the Bible, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." The way the first church grew is they just hung out with each other, studied the Bible, ate together, and prayed together. And that's how they grew spiritually. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian when it comes to growing, when it comes to moving forward. Now, you guys have heard of peer pressure before, right? Now, when you hear the words peer pressure, is that usually positive or negative? Negative, right? Usually peer pressure is friends are around you and they influence you to do something you probably wouldn't do otherwise. That's negative peer pressure. There is actually something called positive peer pressure. Positive peer pressure. It's when you put people around you that help you go in the direction you want to go. We tend to be people who are influenced by other people around us, and we want to move in a certain direction. It makes a lot of sense to surround us by people that are moving in the same direction. If you skip down, you have to skip down to another verse. It's way at the bottom, Daniel 3:16. Do you guys see that? It starts with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story here is there's three guys who were in a foreign country, and they were forced to bow down to a foreign god. And they said no. And the king said, "If you don't do this, I'm going to kill you." And look at their answer. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the god we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.'" Here's my question. Where do you get that kind of courage? Where do you get that kind of courage to stand up to a king that says, I'm going to throw you into a fiery pit unless you bow down to this, idol? Yeah, you get it from God, but I think it's also significant that it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego together saying this, because they were influencing each other. That's what positive peer pressure is you're around people and they help you stay solid where you're going. Does that make sense? You surround yourself with people, and as a community, they were able to stand up to the king. If they were isolated, they might have been a little more scared to do that. But together, you can move in the right direction. For some reason, Jesus' presence is stronger when people are together. Now look at Matthew 18:20. It says, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There's something that's powerful about being together as a family of God. We become who we were meant to be in God's eyes. We take the steps we were meant to take. Those things that were always hard to us for us to do, we begin to do it in God's name because we have the courage. We have the strength because we're around people who help us grow. I want to talk about the growth groups that are coming up a little bit. Some of you, go ahead and you have that yellow, bright yellow sheet that says the Jesus Challenge on it. Go ahead and pull that out for a sec. I want to talk about how the Jesus Challenge is going to work in our church and how it fits with growth groups. If you open it up inside on the right, you'll see a Bible reading plan. And that Bible reading plan takes you through 3 months of reading through the Gospel of Mark. You're going to get to read through the whole story of Jesus, focused for 3 months, starting in February. And so part of how the Jesus Challenge works is on your own, you read through the Gospel of Mark. Not only that, but anyone who signs up for a growth group is going to get free audio CDs of the whole Gospel of Mark being read and dramatized. So you can listen to it in your car, when you work out, whatever you're doing. The idea is we want to be reading about Jesus and hearing about Jesus, so we're just immersed in the life of Jesus. Then what happens is on the Sunday following the week of your readings, we're going to preach on a certain passage from what you read here on Sunday mornings. And so we reinforce what you've read during the week. And then after that, during the week, when you sign up for a growth group, you're going to focus on the sermon. And so the idea is you're reading it on your own, you're listening to it on your own, you're hearing it on Sundays, and then growth groups, you're going even deeper into it. But you're in a community doing that. And I want to talk about some benefits if you do join a growth group of how being part of a church family like this could help you. Number one is you will grow in your Bible knowledge. Very few people have spent 3 months just looking at the life of Jesus, just immersing themselves in Jesus. And what this does is you're part of a family doing this. And I want to say I read the Bible a lot better when I know that other people are reading the same thing at the same time are going to ask me about it. There's something about positive peer pressure that gets us to go deeper in the Word than we normally would. So that's one of the benefits. The other is it will help you develop a prayer time on a regular basis. Many of you are really wanting to grow in prayer but don't have a daily discipline yet. This will encourage you to begin reading the Bible daily and praying. But we're doing it in community. And so we know that everyone else is doing it at the exact same time. And that's a real benefit. You get to immerse yourself in Scripture. But perhaps one of the better and best benefits is you get to do this and discuss it in community during your growth group. Growth groups will be a time for you just to be with people, to share what's going on, to talk about Jesus, and to apply it to your lives. And we're all going to be doing it together. I think that's going to be a wonderful gift for us. Wouldn't you agree to be able to do that together? You need other people to grow, and you want to be able to connect with other people in our church. So far, 27 people in our church have signed up for growth groups. Isn't that exciting? I think we need to clap for those people. They begin in 2 weeks, the first week of February. And I just want to introduce the growth group leaders one more time. Cindy is not here, but let's talk about Pete and Lala. Will you guys stand up again just to say this is another growth group leader? There's Pete and Lala. Yeah. Amy and Lisa, why don't you guys stand up? They're leading a group for women on Fridays. Becky and I are leading a group at Jared and Lisa. You guys want to stand up? It's going to be at their house on Wednesday nights at 7. And I'm missing one group. Am I? Oh, I'm leading a group. Yeah. I'm leading a group for 18 to 23-year-olds on Tuesday nights. By the way, we do not have a place for the 18 to 23-year-olds. If you have a home in the Pittsburgh area that you would be open to hosting this group, we would really appreciate that. Just let me know. Write something down on your card or just talk to me afterwards. We're looking for a place for that. But we have those five groups going up. And here's how you can sign up for the growth group. You look at your connection card, and you pull out your green sheet, and you'll see the five groups listed on your green sheet. Some of them are general, some of them are specific to an age group or gender, to women only. Each group has a number next to it. All you need to do is on the back of your connection card, it says, sign me up for growth group number, and you just put the number. And that's all you need to do is sign up. So you can do that right now or right when the service is over or before our offering. Another way to sign up is back at the resource table. I'm going to ask some of the growth group leaders to be back there. If you have any questions, you can just go back there and ask them the questions. Also online on our website, you can sign up as well. 2 more weeks to go, but we really encourage everyone to sign up. It's a 12-week commitment. The worst case is you don't like it, and you're done in 12 weeks, so it's not that bad. The best case is it's an amazing journey that God takes you through, and you grow in your faith. So that's growth groups. You need other people because you need a place where you can grow. Let's go to point number four. Point number four is this. You need to belong to something bigger than yourself. You need to belong to something bigger than yourself. The Bible, another way the Bible talks about the church is that we're all part of a body. If you think of a body, there's hands and feet and legs and shoulders, and we're all part of a body. And it says this in Romans 12:4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In other words, you are part, God created you to be part of something bigger. And being part of a growth group, being part of a church, allows you to take that role that you have. When I was a young college student, I saw all the problems in the world, and I thought, I want to solve them all. I want to be that person that solves all the world problems. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And a wise friend said to me, John, you're a brick. You're not the whole wall. Be a brick and be a good one, but don't be the whole wall. You can't do it. But what's more important is that you play your part. Each of you was meant by God to be part of something bigger. You were meant to be part of a huge wall, and you have a brick. You have a part to play in that wall, and God wants you to be part of it. You're meant to be part of something much bigger. I can't solve the world's AIDS crisis. No duh. Neither can we as a small body, but the church can. The church worldwide can. In fact, they're doing a lot right now to do that because we're part of something bigger. All of us have a desire to be part of something bigger and make a difference, but we do that best when we're part of a larger community. And that's the privilege of being part of a church family. God has it so that that's what we can do together, that we are part of his family. I love how Hebrews 10:25 says it. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not give up meeting together. Why would the Bible say that? Because we need each other. You and I need a church family. We need to grow. We need to form healthy relationships. We need it to be a place where we serve in a unique way that God's gifted us so that we can make a difference in the world and be a blessing. So I want to strongly encourage you, if you haven't already, to consider signing up for a growth group. I really want to strongly encourage you to think about that. You may be thinking, I can't afford the time. And I want to say this as a pastor, I'm not sure you can afford not to be in one if you want to grow. You might be thinking, I'm scared of people. And even though the person next to me is my brother or sister in Christ, I don't want them to be. I don't like them that much. And I just want to say, could this be a time where God heals you for some of your fears of people? Maybe you've been isolated because you just don't like being close to people, but maybe this is your chance. Can you imagine that God might bring a healing time through you being in a relationship with other people? You might be thinking, I just don't know enough. I'm new to Jesus. I'm new to the church. I don't even know what I believe yet. And I just want to say, perfect. No better place than being in a growth group where you can ask your questions, get to know people, and see what it's like to follow Jesus in community. What if you don't like the people? Like I said, I can't guarantee anything. God can't guarantee anything, but you only have 12 weeks. You can get through it. But the other thing is, imagine the opposite, because this is much more likely to happen. Imagine meeting people for the first time that become really close friends. Imagine meeting people that become lifelong friends. Imagine meeting people who are going to help you have healthy relationships for the first time. Imagine being part of something where you're learning how to serve with the gifts that God has given you. Imagine what could happen. What if you began to grow in your faith like never before? What if you learned to meet people and serve people like never before? What if you learned the joy of being in community? I think that's much more likely than any other situations. So I want to encourage you to take the risk join a growth group. And you don't have to, just imagine. You can take those steps right now. So I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us as a family, that for some strange reason, the Bible calls a church a family, that you and I are brothers and sisters, and that means we need to learn to love each other and that we're good for each other. I want to pray that we become that. And for those of you who are new to church, perhaps new to Jesus, and you're thinking, wow, this is like way too much for me, but this sounds attractive, I want to give you the opportunity to become part of the family by asking God to be your Lord and your Savior, asking Jesus to be your leader and forgiver. You ask, well, how do I do that? Well, it's really simple. You just invite Jesus to be that for you. So we're going to pray right now. I want to pray for all of us. And I want to pray for you if you're not yet a Christian wannabe. And I'll lead you in a prayer as well. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to be family. Lord, it is absolutely unreal that people who are not related to us by blood become brothers and sisters. But you've given that to us as a gift. So God, I pray that we would not shrink from the gift you've given us, but unwrap it and cherish it and receive it. Lord, we pray for our growth groups. We pray for those who are on the fence about joining one, God, that we would all be able to be part of one and grow in you. Lord, I pray for those who are here, and it's not just being part of a church family that's weird, but just even being here at all. And God, I want to pray for those people specifically who need a new relationship with you, who need to be renewed spiritually, who need to get their life right, who want to go in a different direction. They see you as their hope. God, I want to pray for those people because they need you as their new leader, and they need you to forgive them and to make them a new creation. So if that's you right now, I just want to pray for you, and you can just pray this prayer to Jesus. You can say this: Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. God, I want you to be the leader of my life now. I don't want to be the leader anymore. God, I carry a lot of guilt, and I want to ask you for forgiveness. Will you please forgive me? And God, I need your spirit to come in me and make me a new person. I want to commit my life to you. If you prayed that prayer, something wonderful just happened. You're a brand new creation, and you're part of the family of God. So why don't we all close in Jesus' name by saying amen. 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 Great.